Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Mr. Al Green this morning. And what a friend we have in Jesus. And I tell you, that is very true. That is very true. We have a friend in Jesus. And the only way we'll know he's truly our friend is that by faith we'll seek him with our whole heart. Yeah. Turn our hearts to him. Believe, trust him. Yeah. And you will soon find out he is a friend that sit closer than a brother this morning. And so we're thankful unto him. We thank God for another Monday morning, a brand new day. We never saw this day before. And he brought us through the weekend and started the week off, waking us up, closing our right minds. We have the use and activity of limbs, life, health, strength. Hallelujah. And this is what we speak upon ourselves. Life, health, strength. That's what we speak. Use and activity of every limb. We speak that to ourselves. Yeah, because whatever you say, that's what you're going to have. And so we're thankful, hallelujah, unto Almighty God this morning. Listen, we're moving right along today, and we're going to talk about a new day and a new focus in Jesus. And we have a wonderful life-changing testimony. Two people went to hell, and they see the same thing. So we're going to listen to that today, but we want to talk about the new day. The new focus in Jesus is our topic. The new day, the new focus in Jesus. Every morning he wake you up, it's a new day. And we can make up our mind to focus in him. Yeah, we want to watch what we say. Yeah, we don't want to grumble, complain, judge nobody. No, we don't want to do any of that. Gossip, none of that. We want to be careful what we're doing in this hour. Yeah, because we're preparing daily for his return. You know, nor the day, nor the hour. We don't know the day, nor the hour when he's coming back. But we know that he's coming back as he promised. And we want to be ready when he calls our name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And he's given us chance after chance, time after time to prepare so we won't have an excuse. Well, Lord, I didn't know. Nobody told me, God. You didn't say, yeah. You know, we know this faith fulfilled. We know that he's coming back, and it's our job to prepare for his return. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So listen, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And this morning we're praying the prayer of faith because we realize it's the prayer of faith that makes us whole. And so we're thankful unto him, seeking him for healing and guidance and heart fixing and mind regulating this morning, because we all need these things in our lives. We all need him to do this for us and to keep us moving. Yeah, we're grateful unto him today, and we appreciate him. Yeah, and we love him. It was him who first loved us. And I often say, without his love, I wouldn't know what love is. But because he so loved me, I gave me an opportunity to learn of him. Hallelujah. I'm thankful this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So let's begin prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this fresh Monday morning, a day, Father, we never saw before. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning, closing our right minds. We thank you for the use and activity of all our limbs. We thank you for life, health, and strength. And Father, we thank you that we can call those things that are not as though they were. We can speak those things that are not as if they were. And whatever we say, Father, is what we're going to have. And we're so thankful for that. We're so thankful that we can speak life on ourselves. We can speak whatever we need upon ourselves, because there's power of life and death in our tongues as well. And so, Father, we thank you this morning. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. We come this morning thanking you, Lord, that you're yet on our side in spite of us. We thank you this morning that you look beyond our fault and yet meet our needs. Hallelujah. We thank you this morning that we can cast our cares upon you, for Father, you careth for us. We thank you this morning for your son, Jesus. Thank you for him, Father, and thank you that you gave him. You gave him because you so loved the world as a sacrifice that man would have a right to the tree of life, that we could be redeemed back to you. We thank you this morning. And Father, we come this morning, bow down and humbleness boldly before your throne, asking this morning that you would fix our hearts and regulate our minds. Father, that you would heal every caller and every listener, every household represented here. Father, we ask this morning that you would heal us spiritually, heal us mentally, and Father, heal us naturally in the name of Jesus. We know that you know what we each need. And Lord, not our will, but your will be done in our lives. And many things have drove people to unknown places in their mind because they didn't truly know you and know what you had in store for them. And Father, today we want to strip down before you that you see every blemish, every spot, every scar. And Father, we ask that you would heal this morning in the name of Jesus. Heal your people, God. Most of all, we ask that you would heal us spiritually. But Father, you're returning and we want to have a mind, a sound mind to prepare for your return. Do it for us today. Father, we want to be the church that you come back looking for without spot or wrinkle. When you call our name and we wake up, we want to wake up with you. We want nothing to do with hell this morning in the name of Jesus. For hell is a place for ungodly people. And Father, we are godly. We are yours. We belong to you. You made us for your pleasure. And we receive you this morning with our whole heart. But Father, we believe you so loved us. You sent your only begotten Son. And we believe this morning that we won't perish but have everlasting life. Do it for us today. Strengthen us in you. Strengthen us in our minds, our sound minds that you gave. Power, love, and a sound mind. And teach us how to do these things, oh God. You teach us. That, Father, we're on the right track. We're not relying upon us, our thoughts and our ways. But we are being led by you. We're being taught by you. Father, do it for all of us this morning in the name of Jesus. Those coming through the archives and the podcast as well. Father, we come this morning asking, Father, that you would bless those that come from Facebook and LinkedIn and wherever they come through today, oh God, we ask that you would move in a mighty way just for them going through the steps to get here. Those that dial a number to call in, move in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. And Father, again this morning, every caller and every listener, heal today. Give a total healing to us all in the precious name of Jesus. And Father, this morning we ask that you would bless those that are incarcerated. Have mercy this morning, oh God. Lord, we ask that someone would come along and plant. You would strengthen the planter. And that you would use the planter's mouth to plant. Lord, send those that will water in the name of Jesus. But we know it's you that gives the increase. Open up the hearts and the mind of those that are incarcerated so that they can receive you. Because many don't know what's going on outside of the prison. And it's preparing time. It's time to prepare more than ever for your return in the name of Jesus. And Father, you wish that none should be lost. And as we lift you up, we ask that you would draw every inmate, every prisoner, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. We thank you that, Lord, you don't throw anyone away, no matter what they have done. And whoever will come to you, Father, you will in no wise cast them out. We thank you for your graciousness. Thank you for your mercy and your kindness. Father, most of all, we thank you for your love today. For it was love that lifted me, and Father, it's love that will lift us all. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Father, we come this morning asking that you would bless those that are in every branch of our military. Bless our administration of our military, oh God. And Father, we ask this morning that God, you would give them the right plans. And Lord, that you would give them the heart and minds to do the right things. And we thank you for protection through them, that you use them daily to protect us, oh God, from all hurt, harm, or danger. We thank you. And we ask that you would strengthen these men and women. And that God, you would move in a mighty way. Let your anointing flow. That God, we will always be winners. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, we come asking that you would bless widows and bereaved families and intercessing with prayer people everywhere, praying in the name of Jesus, in obedience unto you, and love for your people. Father, move for them today in a mighty way. And Lord, move for your preachers that's doing the same in a mighty way this morning, in the precious name of Jesus. And Father, we know that you're able and there's nothing too hard for you to do. Father, we ask that you would bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem. Lord, you said we would prosper if we love them. So, Lord, we love them this morning and we want what's best for your people. And God, we ask that you would move upon their hearts and their mind and let them know that there are many Americans praying for them and that you're moving because of prayers. For your word says where two or three are gathered in your name is touching and agreeing. Father, you're in the midst. And so we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters overseas everywhere and those that have to secretly talk of your wondrous works and make known your deeds among the people, those that have to seek and read and study your word. Father, have mercy this morning and loose your protecting angel to stand watch, to shield and protect, keep them from all hurt, harm, or danger in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. For Father, you are all of our protectors. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we can't fight our own battles. But Lord, you fought the battle for us, and therefore you made us all, every believer, a winner. Hallelujah. We look to the hills this morning from which cometh our help. All of our help comes from you. Father, you made the heavens and the earth, and we give you glory this morning, honor and praise. We thank you today for all you've done for us, great and mighty things. Thank you for what you're doing right now. And Father, what you're going to do, great and mighty things for us. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on you. Help us not to doubt. Help us not to fall apart over things we can't have or things we can't do. But Father, all things will work together for our good if we love you. And we are the called according to your purpose. And we believe we are this morning because you saved us. Father, it was you who sanctified us, set us aside, and cleaned us up unto yourself. You who filled us with your spirit. And Lord, we ask this morning that, God, you would let us be led by your spirit. Give us a spiritual eye to follow. Give us a spiritual ear to hear the directions of you this day. April the 8th, 2024, in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me. We give you glory this morning. We give you honor, and we give you praise. There's none like you. And Father, many are standing and waiting on you. They can't do anything until you come. Many are waiting on finances. Many are waiting on houses and cars and even land, oh God. Many are waiting on businesses and healings and whatever have been told to them, oh God. And whatever your words say, your promises say concerning each of us, many of us are waiting. And Lord, we ask that you would move on the wait today. And Lord, you would open every door and every window. Because, Father, what you give, it won't add sorrow to us. We won't be sorrowful for it. But, Father, we'll be thankful. And, Lord, the small things today, we want to be thankful for the small things. Many things just look little, and we take for granted because we can yet bat our eyes. Somebody can't bat them. We can yet breathe. Somebody can't breathe without a machine. Father, we have use and activity of our limbs. Some people don't have any of that. They're paralyzed. But Lord, you blessed us, and we want to be grateful unto you, and we want to appreciate you for it. And Father, we want to tell you thank you, and we want to mean it from our heart. We don't want to give you lip service. But God, what we give to you, we want to mean it from our very hearts. And we thank you this Monday morning. Hallelujah. Thank you that we are able to gather again. Many are able to hear my voice, and Father, I'm able to see their phone numbers in the studio, and we thank you. Many will hear it in the archives, in the podcast. Father, we thank you. And Father, we bring Sister Sherry before you this morning. And we ask that you would lift her up and encourage her the more. Father, we ask that you would touch and heal Sherry's body. In the name of Jesus, give her physical energy and spiritual energy. And Father, remind her to just simply believe. Yeah, to just simply have faith. Because you won't leave her nor forsake her. You will be with her until the end. In the name of Jesus. Father, I bring Brother Anthony before you this morning. And Lord, I ask that you would restore joy unto him like never before. The enemy want to sift him as wheat, oh God, and take his joy and his happiness away. But Lord, you know what to do. You know what to do to bless him and to make it right for him in the name of Jesus. Have mercy this morning, oh God. Lord, we thank you today. Touch and heal Sister Irene. Lord, you know what she's standing in need of today. And Lord, I thank you for her uplifted. Yeah, she's uplifted, oh God. No matter what she go through, she yet can laugh. She yet have joy. We thank you this morning. Sister Dorothy Goodman this morning, oh God, I ask that you would touch and totally heal her body in the name of Jesus. And Father, you know what she's standing in need of as well. Moved by your spirit for her this day. April the 8th, 2024, in the precious name of Jesus, we ask. Lord, give your people joy. Give them peace. Give them happiness beyond their wildest imagination. No matter what is going on, because we have you, Almighty God, that have all power, and there's no higher power. And no matter what come our way, it's working together for our good. And Lord, while these things are coming our way, we want to keep our mind on you. We want to delight ourselves in you. Hallelujah. Oh, we're thankful this morning that you give us a way of escape. Because you're our Redeemer. You're our God. You're our Savior. You're our Protector. Father, you're our all. And we thank you this morning. Again, Father, we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for hearing. We thank you for answering. We thank you for not turning us away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you this morning. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. But Father, there's none like you. Hallelujah. None. We're thankful that you love us. Thankful that you care for us. And this morning, we cast our cares upon you because we know you care for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And today, Father, every song we bow down to worship you in spirit and in truth. We don't just listen, but God, we worship you as your songs going forth, the songs of Zion. Father, we praise you. As we hear in the song of the great God that you are, hallelujah. Oh, we thank you this morning. We thank you. We thank you. Oh, do it for all of us today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. We can't thank you enough. Oh, we bless the name of Jesus. We bless the name of Jehovah. Oh, we bow down before you, his majesty, and we thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can hear this today. I have a feeling everything is going to be all right. Not some things. Everything is going to be all right. But what we have to do is let it go and let God have his way in our lives. Accept what God allows. Pray and ask God to help us. Lord, help us not to doubt, but help us to trust you. Help us not to doubt. And Father, help us to truly 100% believe your precious promises concerning us. He loves us this morning, and he won't withhold no good thing from us. If it's going to work together for our good, God is going to give it to us. And sometimes he don't move right away, because if he moved right away, that which he's moving right away for, it won't work together for our good. So God is only going to do what's going to work for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank him this morning for being on our side in spite of us again, looking beyond our faults, because we all have faults. Yeah, I know some people come with the trickery, like, you know, they're perfect, but we all have faults. And the scripture even said, even before I come to God and even afterward, I believe, we all have fallen short of his glory. There's none righteous but him, really. He counted our faith as righteous, because we believe in him, but not what we naturally just come with. Now, we need him for everything. And again this morning, without him, we can do nothing. We need him today. And anybody who feel they don't need him, I feel bad for them. Because you're doing whatever it is you're doing because of him, but you don't realize it. That's a pitiful thing. Hallelujah. Listen, we're going a little bit further this morning, and we're going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, we'll come back with, I wanted to go ahead and start our encouragement for the day. New day, new focus in Jesus. It's a new day and a new focus in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we need him to move for us. And this day we want to be moved by his spirit, not by us. And we want to know the difference. So we ask God to help us, lead and guide us in the right path for your name's sake. Lord, let me know that this is you moving and not me. And the more I seek you and prepare, teach me the difference, oh God. Teach me the difference when it's my flesh and when it's you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's go to this one.
With our arms open wide,
New anointing upon me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. The Lord, I'll be able to obey you. I'll be able to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto you. I'll be able to treat my neighbor right. I'll be able to love my enemies. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless his name this morning. There's none like him. I just wanted to read this scripture this morning, and this is in Psalms chapter 9 and verse 17. Well, let's look at 16. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higeon, Salah. Verse 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. 18 says, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectations of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathens be judged in thy sight. This has been on me heavy. Hell is real. It's a real place. And some days it's just, it'll break your heart to see the things that people are doing and what people are saying. And you know that hell is a real place. And if no changes are made, hell is where they will spend eternity. And it's just traumatizing some days for you, because you love people and you want the best for them. Yeah. And when God sends people your way, I don't care what kind of people, what they do, what they did, or what they're doing, he sent them your way to be a blessing. And so we encourage people and we keep it going. We don't try to change people. We just tell them what the word said. We share the good news of Jesus. We share the gospel. And it's out of our hands after that. We leave everything up to him. Our job is done. It's not my job to tell you about your sexual preference. Now, I share with you what God is saying, not what Barbara wants or not what Barbara's saying. I've dealt with many different kind of people. Yeah, different kind of men, because being a woman, men going to come your way. And they may come for different reasons. Yeah, not every man come because he really, truly, really, really like you, and he really want to be your husband. Now, that's not it. Because the enemy come, but to kill, steal, and destroy. It's Jesus come that we may have a life and may have it more abundantly. But we got to believe. Yeah. And we got to stay in the word and stay in prayer. This is a praying time. Yeah, and this is a pressing way. We got to press our way through. Yeah, Bishop Robinson says, God have something waiting. If I can just press my way through. Because many things are going to come our way that's not good. All kind of stuff. Yeah, it's coming our way, and it's not good. It's not something that will work together for our good. The enemy is evil. He'll send things, he'll send people, he'll send illnesses, he'll send all kind of things. Men, if you're a man, he'll send a woman to distract you from what he's got going on, from what God is trying to do for us. Yeah. But each morning is a new day, a new focus in Jesus. If we focus in him, Lord, you woke me up this morning. He should be the first one we speak to in the morning. Our mind should automatically fall on him when we wake up. Sometimes things from the night before and things we got to get done and we don't want to forget and we don't want to do, that's on our mind. But as soon as it come to you, you didn't tell God, thank you, Lord, wherever you are. Because we don't have to open our mouth to pray. We can pray from our heart. Hallelujah, because that's what God deal with, the heart. And he knows the very intent of our hearts. He knows what's in there. He knows where it originated from, when it first started. He knows everything about us. He made us for his pleasure. And he loved man. Yeah, it made him pleased that he made man. But once he began to see the ways of the error of man, and man was not going to take on the things of him so that he could be blessed, and God repented for making man. My goodness. So this morning, we want to give him our all. We want to trust him. And we want to see that it's a new day. But what happened yesterday is over with. It's not coming back. That's gone. What happened last week, last month, last year, we can forget it. It's over with. But it's a new day. So we can focus on new things if we choose to. I want you to remember this if you remember nothing else. Nothing stays the same but God. God and his word are the only two things that I really know stays the same. Because with time, everything changes but God and his word. That is so true. A friend of mine named Sarah shared that with me years ago, and that always stuck with me. She said, Ba, nothing stays the same. With time, everything must change. And we see the seasons keep changing. Yeah. We see God hold the water back from the land, but every now and then we see something went on out there with the water, tsunami, something. Nothing stays the same but God and his word. We see each year the different summers we have. Some summers are much hotter than others. Yet, nothing stays the same. With time, everything must change. The winter, the fall, the spring, all of this. The moon, they say today we're having some type of eclipse. Nothing stays the same but God and his word. He was that way yesterday, Jehovah. He's that way today, and he will be that way forevermore. Heaven and earth will pass away before one little jot of his word will fail. He's the only one who's able to stay the same. He's the only one I know that every word he said is true. Every word. See, sometimes some of our word is true, but here's every word. And I'm learning to stop telling people what I'm going to do, because when I'm not able to do it, it frustrates them. And some people get angry over it. She lied. Nope. I spoke by faith what I was going to, what I wanted to do, but it didn't come in the way that it should, in the way that I wanted it. Or before it got to that date, I changed my mind. Yeah. And sometimes people don't want you to change your mind. Mm-mm. You said this, this, and that, do it. But how about you? I'm sure some things you said that you wanted to do or told people you were going to do, and close to time, you didn't feel like it. You didn't want to anymore. You changed your mind. Yeah. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. Shante says she can't change her mind with me. I'll hold her to the fire for every little thing. Yeah. But we praying that we say what we mean and mean what we say, including me. I'm not exempt from none of these things you hear me talk about. This is for me too. The word come to me first to get it right with him. So I'm working on these things. I'm working on preparing for his return. We don't know when he's coming back. And I don't want the Lord to come back and I'm grumbling and complaining. I don't want him to come back and I'm gossiping, I'm lying, I'm cheating, I'm stealing, I'm doing what he said not to do. I'm not focused. I don't love my neighbors. I don't love my enemies. I don't want him to come back and catch me in that kind of situation. I don't want him to come back and catch me talking my big talk and what I don't like and what I'll do. No, that's not what I want. Humble is the way. So remain humble, Barbara, and focus. And today it's all right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am thankful unto him this day for all he has done, what he's doing right now, and what he's going to do. Again this morning, great and mighty things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Just where would I be? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're moving a little bit further this morning. And we're going to take a listen to our key testimony of the morning is what I'm going to call it. And it's a wonderful testimony, and it's two people, and both of them went to hell, and they saw the same things, and so we got to be careful, we got to be careful, and I know sometimes it seems impossible what people say or what they said happened to them, but I tell you, if you have discernment of spirits, pray and ask the Lord for discernment, you'll know who testimony is true and who lying. And them lying testimonies, that's not what you want to be bothered with. But then I tell God, make it come true. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, let's take a listen.
Jesus wants to show us hell. That's why there's so many hell testimonies. So that we will fight. So that we won't be asleep. I don't want to watch. But I need to. We all need to. We need to see it. We need to see it because it's real. And we need the fear of God. And we need to understand how dangerous sin is and what it leads to. Jesus wants to show us hell. That's why there's so many hell testimonies, so that we will fight. I honestly don't know if I'll be able to make it through this video. You've probably heard of the person that is in this video. You've probably heard of him because he's very famous, but you've probably never, ever seen his testimony like this. The thing is that Jesus wants us to see hell. He wants us to understand it so that we will fight in prayer and preaching the word to try to save our family members and the people around us. Jesus wants to show us hell. That's why there's so many hell testimonies, so that we will fight, so that we won't be asleep. First of all, so the church will be purified, so it gets the fear of God. I wrote a discipleship book by the grace of God, and there's people that are going through the discipleship program, and one of them is a young girl from South Africa. This girl, she's about 17 years old, and her pastor wanted to get the book. He wanted to see what she was learning. So he got the book, and he started going through it with his daughter, with his family in the evenings. And they went through the book, and they got to a section where I talked about eternal judgments. And in there, I linked this video that we're about to watch together. And when she watched it, something incredible happened. When this girl, the daughter of the pastor, she was about 16 years old, when she watched this video, she got the fire of God. She was so convicted, so convicted, so convicted. She got the fire of God in her. She preached to her class, and revival was poured out at her school. It was absolutely incredible. In total, over, I think, around 30 people repented, gave their lives to Jesus, it was reported, so that's amazing. But she just got the fire of God in her, this little 16-year-old girl, when she saw this testimony, and she knew she had to share. And when she rose up to speak, it wasn't her speaking, it was the Lord speaking through her. And God can use you the same way. God used her to bring revival to her school. But anyway, so this is a really, really, really powerful video, and I hope I'm able to get through it. I don't know how. But yeah. So you'll see when we get to the part that I'm talking about. Just bear with it all the way through. Even if you've heard his testimony before, just bear with it. It's going to be edited some from the original version. Okay, let's watch this together. I don't want to watch this. I don't want to. Because I know it's real. I don't want to watch it because I know it's real. And it's terrifying. It's not that I'm scared. I'm not scared of going to hell because I've been saved and I've been freed from sin and the Lord has transformed me and I know that I'm His. But one time, so I'll just share something real quick. I decided years ago, I'm going to pursue love. You know how the Bible says pursue love. And so I would go into my prayer closet and I'd pray and I'd pray and I'd pray hours. I don't know how many days I was pursuing love, but it became so overwhelming, this love for the lost, that I couldn't even really talk to other people. Like, I would be so overwhelmed when trying to talk to someone because I would just be so full of this heartache over lost souls, this love that, I mean, love hurts because you start to feel God's heart and it just rips you up inside because His grief over the lost is unbearable. And so He started to share His heart with me, and I was in the closet and I started to understand hell in a deeper way than ever before. And it was so horrific. I saw a vision. I saw a vision of a mother and her daughter. Her daughter was like older, maybe 12 or so, and they were in flames, and I knew they were from an unreached people group. And the reality of hell just became so real. And I couldn't understand it. I was like, how is it that most of the world is going here? Like, when you really understand it, yeah. The reality of this life that we're in, like what Jesus died to save us from, what hell is beyond beyond, 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 beyond words. So, anyways, so this video, when we listen to his testimony, and this is Bill Wise, by the way, which I know many of you have heard his testimony, but don't click off. Hear it again, because there's a part in this that you've probably never heard. And that's the part that I don't want to watch. I don't want to watch. But I need to. We all need to. We need to see it. We need to see it because it's real. And because your family members could be going there. And my family members. If we don't pray. And we need the fear of God. And we need to understand how dangerous sin is and what it leads to. So, I'm going to watch this.
On November 23rd, 1998, this experience occurred. And when it first happened, I really didn't want to share it with anybody. I'm a conservative person by nature, and I did not want to be identified with someone that says they've been to hell. That was very uncomfortable for me. I did share it with one close friend, and it spread from there. 150 verses that talk about everything I saw in hell is already in the Bible. So if you're here today and you say, you know, I don't know if I believe this guy. I'm not here to convince you to believe me. I'm just here to convince you to believe the Word of God. That's all that matters. Now, you might say, Bill, how do you know this wasn't just a bad dream? Well, there were three reasons, but just to give you one quickly, on the way back from this experience, I was traveling back with the Lord, which I'll tell you about, but we came up to our home and I viewed my body lying on the floor. I was outside my body. And when I was traveling back with the Lord, so 1 John 4:16 says, perfect love casts out fear. I had no fear whatsoever. But when I entered back in my body, the memories of hell flooded back into my mind. And hell is so severe, I literally felt my body dying. And I started screaming, and I went into a traumatized state. Well, my screams woke up my wife, and the first thing she did is look at our digital clock, which read 3:23. I had gotten up at 3 o'clock in the morning to get a glass of water, so that's where the 23 minutes comes from. But she prayed for me, and asked the Lord to remove the horror from my mind. And he did. He took out the horror, but he left the memory. Now, how can he do that? He can divide both soul and spirit, so he's able to do that. But thank God he did, because, like I said, it's so severe, I would have died from seeing it. It is that severe when you see hell. And anyway, just to explain a little bit more about a vision, this was not a near-death experience. This was an out-of-body experience that would be classified as a vision in the Bible. In 2 Corinthians 12:1 and 2, Paul, when he was caught up in heaven in a vision, he said whether in the body or out of the body, he didn't know. Well, the Lord showed me that I left my body. And in a vision, you can actually travel. Like Paul and John actually traveled to heaven. In Ezekiel chapter 8, he was picked up by his hair, and he was carried from Babylon to Jerusalem. And the last thing is, you might say, but Bill, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to hell. Why do I need to hear about hell? Three quick reasons. Number one, when you understand how severe hell is, you'll be much more appreciative of your own salvation. Amen. From what you were saved from. See, a lot of Christians today believe in a teaching called annihilationism, which is a teaching that says you simply cease to exist if you deny Jesus. That's not true. Jesus said in Matthew 25:46, these shall go into everlasting life, and these shall go into everlasting punishment. The word everlasting he used is the word ionios. Just as heaven is everlasting, so is hell everlasting. It says the same thing in John 5:29, Mark 16:16, Daniel 12:2, Acts 24:15, Matthew 13:30, Revelation 14:10-11, all places where it shows hell is eternal, and you will thank God you don't have to go there. Number two, it causes us all to walk more in the fear of the Lord. You know, Proverbs 16:6 says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You know, we're not to live a compromised lifestyle. You know, God's called us to holiness. And Mark 9:47, Jesus said, if your eye offends thee, and the word offend means causes you to sin, he said, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter in a life maimed than in a hell fire. So he's telling you, if you live a lifestyle of sin, practicing sin, you'll end up in the hell fire. And so when you understand the severity of hell, you will not want to walk that edge of sin. You'll want to just walk straight with God, keep your life straight. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? Quickly, Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 17 says, the fear of the Lord is to read his word daily and to obey his word daily. That we have enough respect for God that we will obey him. Now, I know we are to cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, but at first we have to have a healthy reverential fear of Almighty God. You know, Moses, it says, shook and quaked exceedingly in God's presence, and he was called the friend of God. So shouldn't we? It'll give you that kind of a fear and a holy reverence for God. And number three, it'll give us all more a passion for the lost, a desire to witness. You know, Bill Bright said only 2% of Christians even bother to witness. Now, I know, you know, it's great that we all come to church and hear messages, but we also, all of us are called to share the gospel. Jesus told us all in Mark 16, go and preach the gospel to the whole world. So that's for all of us. You know, and it'll give you more of that passion, because when you see how severe hell is, you will think, man, I don't want my family or friends or anybody going to this place. What can I do? Now, I don't mean that you beat people over the head with a Bible. I'm talking about each day when you get up to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and say, Lord, use me today. Put me in front of somebody today that I can share your word with. And that way you're watching for opportunities each day. You're looking for those opportunities that you can plant seed in someone's life. Not force it on people, but just watch for those opportunities. You'll have that urgency in your heart. 2 Corinthians 5, 10, 11, Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now, even though that scripture is talking about the judgment seat, the reward seat for Christians, most of the commentaries agree that he was also talking about judgment and hell in general. So when you understand judgment and hell in general, you'll be more persuasive with men. You'll take more effort. Can you see that?
Yes.
But also, you know, Ezekiel 33:8 says, if we fail to speak to warn the sinner from his way, his blood will I require in your hand. That's a strong verse. In other words, God's saying, I hold you partially accountable if you don't share the gospel with people. It says the same thing in Acts 20:26 and Acts 18:6. Colossians 1:28 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man. So this is not a message of condemnation. This is a loving message because it's a message of warning. You know, what loving parent wouldn't warn their child not to play in a busy street? That's what we're doing. We're letting people know, hey, hell is really severe, but the good news is not one person has to go there. And I'm going to show you at the end, I'm going to explain to you that it's our own words that send us there, not God. It's our own words. When we came home from this prayer meeting, well, anyway, I'll just start. I went to bed, got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and suddenly I was pulled out of my body, like being drawn up out of your body. And I found myself falling through the air down this long tunnel, and it was getting hotter and hotter. And I entered this open cavern area, and then I landed on an actual stone floor in a prison cell in hell. Rough-hewn stone walls, bars, filthy, stinking, smoke-filled, but more like a dungeon. But see, Isaiah 24:22 says, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit and shall be shut up in the prison. Proverbs 7:27 mentions going down to hell to the chambers of death. The word chambers means inner rooms. Job 17:16 says, they shall go down to the bars of the pit. Jonah 2:6, the earth with her bars was about me forever. And the Tyndale, the New International, many other commentaries point out that Jonah was at the gates of hell and it was literal bars and gates. Well, that's where I first found myself, face down on the floor in this. And the first thing I noticed was the intense heat. I wonder how possibly could I be alive in this place. It was so far beyond the ability to sustain life. And I wanted to get up and run out of this prison cell, but I noticed I had no physical strength in my body. I thought, what's wrong with my body? It took so much effort to try to move. But see, Isaiah 14:9 and 10 says, hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. They will say, art thou become weak as we? And Psalms 88:4 says, I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that has no strength. Now, if you ever had the flu and you felt weak? A thousand times worse than that. Any movement takes tremendous effort. But see, Acts 17:28 says, in him we live and move and have our being. So even movement comes from God. It's not automatic. I looked up and I saw these two demons in the cell. Reptilish in appearance. Bumps and scales all over the one's body. Huge jaw, sunken in eyes, claws about a foot long. And these particular two were about 12 or 13 feet tall. That's not an exaggeration. I could give you scripture for that, but I better keep moving. And they were pacing in the cell like a vicious caged animal. They had the most ferocious demeanor, and they were blaspheming and cursing God. But we know blasphemy comes from the demonic realm. Revelation 13:6, James 2:7, some others. And then he directed this hatred they had for God, they directed towards me. I wonder why. What have I done to them? But the one demon picked me up, threw me into the wall of the cell. I hit the wall, bones broke, I collapsed on the floor. I couldn't believe this was happening. And I thought, why am I alive? I should be dead from this. But I did understand one thing, that most of the pain was being blocked. I did feel some of the pain, but I understood most of it was being blocked. But the Lord explained on the way back that He blocked most of it, but He did allow me to feel a small amount of the pain so I could relate to people that it's not metaphorical. It's not a state of the mind. It's real, literal pain you're going to feel in hell. Thank God He blocked it, but the amount I felt was enough. Then this other demon picked me up, dug its claws into my chest, and just ripped the flesh open. This actually happened. I couldn't believe, how can this be going on? And I noticed that I had a body. Matthew 10:28 says, fear Him who was able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Remember Luke 16, the rich man, he lifted up his eyes, he wanted a drop of water, cool his tongue, he had a mouth to speak, he had eyes, he had a tongue. You have a body in hell, but it withstands these torments. But I noticed it was all dry, even though they ripped the flesh open, it was just dry. But see, Leviticus 17:11 says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Well, there's no life in hell, so there's no blood. And Zechariah 9:11 says, thy prisoners out of the pit where there is no water. There was not one drop of water. All is dry in hell. About this time, it went dark. Now, I believed it was God's presence there to illuminate it, but then He withdrew His attribute of light, and it resumed its normal state of absolute pitch black darkness. I mean, you cannot see the hand in front of your face. But Lamentations 3:6 says, He has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. Jude 13 mentions blackness of darkness forever. But it wasn't just dark, you could literally feel it. That's not an exaggeration. Exodus 10:21 mentions a darkness that may be felt. Because it's such wickedness and evil in this place, it just seems to penetrate through every cell in your body. Now I was taken out of this prison cell, and I was placed over next to this large raging pit of fire. This pit was about a mile across. I just understood that. With flames raging high up into this open cavern. And it was not metaphorical or allegorical fire. I felt the heat. I saw the flames. But more importantly, it's what the scripture says. Psalms 11:6 says, upon the wicked He will rain fire and brimstone in a horrible tempest. Psalms 140:10, let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits. Matthew 13:49, the angels shall sever the wicked from the just and cast the wicked into a furnace of fire. Isaiah 33:12 says, the people shall be as the burnings of lime. They shall be as thorns cut up and thrown into the fire and burned. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Many more verses I could give you about fire. But just to give you one more to prove to you, it's not metaphorical. It's real fire. You know, during the tribulation time here on the earth, it says the bottomless pit will be open, Revelation 9. And it says, there arose a great smoke, and our air and sun were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Well, it couldn't have been a metaphorical fire to produce that real smoke that darkened our sun. Had to be a real fire producing that real smoke. In Luke 16, the rich man wanted a drop of water to cool his tongue. He was tormented in the flame. Well, if it was just flames of mental anguish, why would water suffice? Yes. Oh, it's real fire. And this is where I could first see people inside this pit. There were literally thousands of people screaming and burning. And most of us have never seen a person on fire. It's the most awful sight. They just look like skeletons, flesh hanging off their bones. You cannot distinguish a man from a woman. And the screams were so loud. You want to get away from the screams, but you can't. You have to endure these screams of all these people. But see, Isaiah 57:21 says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There's no peace of mind of any kind. But see, Isaiah 32:18 says, my people dwell in a quiet resting place. You're not His people. You don't derive the benefit of even quiet. And, you know, even though I saw those people in the pit of fire, they're all kept at a distance. They're all kept apart, so you never have any conversation with anybody. And I understood I was down deep in the earth. I descended to get there. I ascended when I left. But more importantly, there's 49 scriptures that talk about where the current hell, or Sheol is the Hebrew word, Hades is the Greek word for the current hell. After judgment day, death and hell, or Hades, is delivered up and cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20, 13 through 15. But right now it's down deep in the earth, according to the scripture. I'll just give you two, number 16, 32 and 33. Ezekiel 26:20, very clear, it's down deep in the earth, but I understood that. And I understood there were different levels of torment and degrees of punishment. I just had that understanding. But remember, Jesus said in Matthew 23:14, you shall receive the greater damnation, inferring there's a lesser damnation. Or Matthew 10:15, he said, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city, inferring there's a less tolerable. Or Hebrews 10:28 says, of how much worse of a punishment suppose it shall be for you, you who have trodden underfoot the Son of God. A worse punishment. But my point is, there is no tolerable level in hell. There's no comfortable level. Anything is far worse than your mind can even conceive. And I wanted to talk to my wife. I wanted to let her know where I was at, or say goodbye. But I understood I'll never get that opportunity, and I'll never be able to finalize anything with any family member. You can't say goodbye. And you don't realize what a tormenting thought that is, that they do not know that you still exist. See, death does not mean cease to exist. Death means separation from God. You still exist. You're just down deep in the earth. And to not be able to say goodbye, or tell your loved ones how much you love them and you'll miss them, you can't ever have that opportunity. Job 7:9 says, he that goes down to Sheol shall come up no more. You have that understanding. You're not going to get out. I want to talk to a person, just anybody, but you don't get that privilege. You're kept at a distance. Like I said, those people are in the flames, but they're all kept at a distance, so you never have the pleasure of conversation or fellowship. Right? It's pleasurable to be with people and talk to people, but you can't do that. For all eternity, you're in isolation by yourself. You have no purpose, no destiny. It's just a complete useless wasting away. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in Sheol. And it doesn't matter if you're somebody famous here. No one would know who you are there. Ecclesiastes 6:4 says, your name is covered in darkness. So you have no identity whatsoever. You're completely forgotten in hell. Psalms 88:12, Isaiah 26:14, Deuteronomy 32:26, Psalms 109:15. I'll explain it. You're forgotten. And that's an awful thing. You understand nobody up on the earth has given you a thought either. Right? I mean, you don't really think about people in hell. And even if you go to a funeral today, it's usually stated, no matter what the religion, they say, well, they've gone to a better place. But that's not the case for most. It's a place of turmoil and confusion. Jeremiah 20:11, Isaiah 45:16 mention everlasting confusion. Job 10:22, a land without any order. You know how we like things orderly in life? We serve a God of order. It's the antithesis in hell. It's chaos, confusion, hectic, crazy. Nothing makes any sense in hell. And so you have all that tormenting your mind for all eternity. The stench in hell is the most foul, putrid, worst odors you can ever imagine. Worse than any open sewer you have ever smelled. Remember, Jesus rebuked the foul spirits, Mark 9:25. Demons have a foul odor to them, but also the smell of burning flesh, and also the smell of burning sulfur. And if you go to Hawaii to the volcano, they have signs posted where you cannot go past a certain point because the toxicity of the sulfur coming up from the volcano, it's called sulfur dioxide. It will kill you if you breathe it. Well, sulfur is just another word for brimstone. And there were brimstones all through the Bible. So you're breathing in this foul, putrid, disgusting air that you don't want to breathe. But it's even worse than that because there's not enough air to breathe. You have to fight for even the tiniest bit of air. This is how you breathe. It was like... that was as much air as you could get. Well, that's not enough. You feel like any moment you're going to suffocate. So you have that feeling of suffocation for all eternity. But see, Isaiah 42:5 says, the Lord gives breath to the people upon the earth. You're not upon the earth. You're down deep beneath the earth. God is very specific with His word. You need to sleep in hell, just like here we need sleep. Now, I was only there 23 minutes, but I felt like I was there for 23 weeks without going to sleep. And if you ever stayed up for just 2 nights, just try to stay up and not go to bed at all for 2 nights. You can't even function after 2 days. Well, in hell, you need to sleep also. but you never get to go to sleep, so it gets progressively worse. But see, Revelation 14, 10 and 11 says, and they shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. Now, no rest in the torment, but no rest of any kind, because Isaiah 57, 20 said, the wicked are like the troubled sea that cannot rest. You know, the sea is always moving, right? Can't rest. But see, rest is a blessing from God. Psalms 127, 2 said, the Lord gives His beloved sleep. You're not His beloved. I was standing next to this big pit of fire, and demons were shoving people back in. People were screaming, burning. I could, like I said, just see through the flames and along the edges. It's so dark, it consumes the light. You know, a pit a mile across here on the earth would produce a lot of light, but in hell it doesn't. It just consumes it. But I could see a little bit through it and along the edges, and I was standing beneath these cavern walls, a tunnel that was ascending up, and all along the cavern walls were demons, all different sizes and shapes, twisted, deformed, grotesque, the most hideous looking creatures. Some were only 2 and 3 feet tall, some were 12 and 13 feet tall, but everything grotesque, and had an extreme hatred for mankind. I could feel the hatred from them, and there were snakes all along the edges, crawling all over, and I was standing on a solid bed of maggots. Maggots were crawling all over everything. But remember, Jesus said, where their worm dies not. And He used the word maggot, and He personalized it by saying, their worm. You have your own maggots in hell. I know this is disgusting. I just want you to get a visual of really what hell looks like, so you get this urgency in you to witness. Isaiah 14:11 says, where the maggot will be spread under thee and the worm will cover thee. Look it up in the original, it's the word maggot. And I didn't know this, but and I know this is disgusting, but bear with me.
We're not at the worst one yet. When we get to the worst one, But I need to see it because it's real. You need to see it because it's real. This is the reality we live in. Most of the world goes here and spends forever here and never gets out of here. Most of the world goes to this place of worms eating out their flesh and screaming, constant screaming, and not being able to breathe and catching your breath, not able to catch your breath. Like He showed, most of the world goes there. Do you want your family to go there? Pray. Put down the phone. Put down the distractions. You know, the devil doesn't really care. If you watch all these videos, even if they're Christian videos, as long as you don't seek God with all your heart, as long as you don't seek God with all your heart, get empowered, and be used by God to save souls, as long as He can distract you, He's happy. As long as you can get your face into a phone all day long, or into all these other distractions, He's happy. He just doesn't want you to wake up and realize what's going on and how people are going to hell. He doesn't want people to realize that. So He's happy if Christians are distracted. Lord, help us, God. Lord, I just pray that as we're listening to this, God, please let it go into our hearts. Please, Lord, help us to really take this seriously, to not to not be foolish. Help us to realize this is real. This is going on right now beneath our feet. We just, Lord, I pray that we would, Lord, help us to realize how real this is, God. Do you know that if you intercede for your lost loved ones, God will save them? The Bible says if you ask, you'll receive, and that means you keep asking until you receive. I heard of a mom, she had an unsaved son, and she was not going to let her son go to hell. She would pray and pray and pray and pray, and her son would be like in a bar late at night, and she would be in the car praying outside that bar, praying for her son. And her son got caught up in drugs, and one day her son went off to like a crack house where nobody knew where he was, and he was doing drugs. And he looked outside his window. Nobody knew where he was. He looked outside the window. And there was his mom on her knees in the grass, praying for her son, fighting for her son in prayer. And he saw that. And God saved her son and made him born again. Freedom. Thank you, Jesus. But we have the responsibility to pray, and then we have the responsibility to preach the gospel.
And I know this is disgusting, but bear with me. If a dead animal is being eaten by maggots, when the flesh is consumed, maggots die. I never knew that, but after they consume the flesh, they die. That's why Jesus said, where their worm dies not, because the flesh is never fully consumed in hell. So as Job 24:20 says, the maggot will feed sweetly on thee. Is that disgusting enough? You know, we were at a church, Pastor, and this pastor, he was a police officer, and he said, Bill, one time we had to enter a home where we got a notice that someone was shot 2 weeks earlier, and we came in and the body was being eaten by maggots. He said, when we walked in, the stench was so disgusting that we had to throw away our clothes. We had to take special showers. The smell would not get off our bodies just from one person that was being eaten by maggots that had been dead for 2 weeks. I know this is gross, but just to give you an idea of what the stench would be like in hell, you really can't even imagine it. And, you know, you're hungry. You don't get to eat. In hell, you have the feeling of hunger. Thirst, remember the rich man, Luke 16, wanted a drop of water. Now, if I was to give you a drop of water, that wouldn't suffice, would it? You wouldn't value that drop of water. But in hell, you would. You would do anything for one drop that you'll never get. The fear level that you experience in hell is so far beyond anything I can explain to you, but I'm going to share with you an experience I had so you can relate, because this fear is intense in your throat for all eternity. Now, I used to surf a lot when I was a teenager, and I was 17 years old. We were surfing off Cocoa Beach, Florida. About 100 guys out that day having a great time, big day, and suddenly the guy next to me got his leg torn off. Sharks. And all of a sudden there was a frenzy of sharks all over us, banging into our boards. A shark went by my board. He was longer than my 9-foot board. Came back, bit my board in half. Knocked my friend off his board, and he looked at me and says, Bill, I guess we're dead. Then this big tiger shark came by and grabbed my leg and pulled me down under the water. Now you can kind of imagine the fear that I felt at that moment, right? I can tell you it's a lot worse than you can imagine. Once you're in the water with them, you see how powerful they are, how big their teeth are. You are completely helpless against a shark. And that feeling of hopelessness, well, that feeling that I felt then, that fear, paled in comparison to what you feel in hell. Wouldn't even register. But see, Psalm 73:18-19 says, you cast them down into destruction where they are utterly consumed with terror. You're utterly consumed with terror for all eternity. this is really important for you to hear, not my experience. Okay, so can I give you for 1 minute, can I give you some scripture about being tormented in hell? Because people say, come on, Bill, that's your idea. Torment in hell, demons tormenting you, come on. That's exaggeration. Let me give you some scripture, okay, for 1 minute. Bear with me so you can understand. This is the Word of God. Matthew 18:34 mentions being delivered to the tormentors. Luke 12:47 says you'll be beaten with many stripes or beaten with few. Psalms 50:22, you that forget God, you'll be torn in pieces. Matthew 24:51, I will cut him in pieces where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Psalms 116:3, the pains of Sheol have gotten hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Amos 5:18-19, for what good is the day of the Lord to you, judgment day? It'll be darkness. And as a man fled from a lion, and a bear met him. Job 33:22, his soul draws near to the pit, and his life to the destroyers. Psalms 32:10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Psalm 78:49, I will cast my wrath upon them by sending evil angels among them. Psalms 141:7, their bones are scattered at Sheol's mouth. Psalms 49:14, their beauty shall consume away in Sheol from their dwelling. Deuteronomy 32:22, for a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat and bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with poison of serpents of the dust. And one more verse, Psalm 74:20 says, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty.
You hear some people saying, oh, there's no Old Testament verses about hell. There's so many Old Testament verses about hell. Don't let anyone deceive you. There's so many and no, it wasn't this burning pit outside of there. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Hell is real. It's in the Old and New Testament. The Bible's so clear about it.
Full of the habitations of cruelty. The word cruelty, if you look it up in the Strong's, number 2555, it's the word Hamas. We've all heard that word before, right? The word Hamas means ruthlessness, violence, cruel hatred, and destruction. They say it's the most violent word in the Hebrew language. So for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of ruthlessness, violence, cruel hatred, and destruction. Now you say, Bill, why would God make such a horrible place? Well, Jesus said why. In Matthew 25:41, he said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. He never intended for man to go there. It wasn't made for man. It was prepared for the devil. But, interesting, he used the word prepared. Not created, prepared. And the word prepared means to make ready. Same word used in John 14:2, where he goes to prepare a place for us in heaven, or make ready. So what God did in the preparation was, see, every good and perfect gift comes down from above. James 1:17 says, right? All good things come from God. There's no such thing as a good thing without God. So what God did was he withdrew his goodness or his attributes. See, hell is dark because 1 John 1:5 said God is light. There's only death in hell because John 1:4 said God is life. There's only hatred in hell because 1 John 4:16 said God is love. There's no mercy in hell because Psalms 36:5 says the mercy of the Lord is in the heavens. There's no strength in hell because Psalms 18:32 said it's the Lord that gives us strength. There's no water in hell because Deuteronomy 11:11 says water is the rain of heaven. And there's no peace in hell because Isaiah 9:6 says he is the Prince of Peace. So see, if God removes himself from the situation, all the good goes with him. You can't have the good without God. You can't separate the two. Can you see that? So if a person in life says, you know what, I don't want anything to do with God. Well, fine, there's a place prepared that has nothing to do with him. Your choice. Other than one thing, the fire in hell does represent God's wrath. All through the scripture it says he will pour out his wrath on sin in the form of fire. But God poured out his wrath on Jesus on the cross, so we wouldn't have to take that wrath. So you can either let him take it or you can take it. It's your choice. I might show, before we get to the good part about meeting Jesus, would you guys want to see, I don't know, Pastor, you tell me if we have enough time. Should I take another 4.5 minutes? I have a movie that is a true story of a woman that was shot in an ambulance, 17-year-old girl, and she's dying, and she's slipping out of her body into hell. True story. It's a Christian movie done by ChristianFilms.com called M1028. Stands for Matthew 1028. Anyway, what she saw in hell is the same things I saw. So if you want to see 4.5 minutes, and then we'll get out of hell, and we'll get to the good part about Jesus.
Okay, this is the part. So it's a true story. This girl died. She went to hell. She had a real experience. And then they made a movie about it. Her experience. And Bill Wise is saying this is the same experience that he had. So it's real. That's two witnesses. Oh, Lord, help us, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. Let's watch that real quick.
Go again.
Charging at 300. Clear. We got her. She's back.
Oh, my God.
You're not going to die.
Yes, I
don't
let me die.
We're not going to let that happen. Watch that monitor.
I'm
spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank God that I'm not afraid to find out some information about hell. I thank him for this. I thank him for listening to the testimonies of each of the people that's telling their experience when God allowed them to go to hell and see the vision of hell and see hell and see what's in hell and what would take place. I thank God for that. Because of this, if ever there was a time to prepare, now is that time. The country here is not in war. We're not going through any type of real, to a certain degree, degradation. We might be going through some greediness, but we're not going through anything so severe as they want us to think it is, and think that, you know, it's nobody's fault. It's just what's happening. Now the devil is a lie and a fool, and will make a lie and a fool out of you, but you got to let him. So look, we need to prepare. New day, new focus in Jesus. Yeah, we need to make our calling and election sure with him. Because many think they're just slipping and sliding right off into heaven. No, ma'am, you got to live right before God daily. You got to remember what his word says. And if you're not in his word and you don't have a prayer life, how will you know what God said? Yeah, Jesus is real. The devil is real. Hell is real. God is real. So if we focus more, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, yeah, we're going to be blessed. And if we fellowship and commune with God enough, we'll know his voice, and a stranger we won't follow. You can be looking at TV and you'll know the difference. Looking at TV, you could be watching a movie and you'll know the difference. Yeah. And these days, that's a lot more of what I got to do. Turn the TV off. Yeah. Get in the word more. Pray more. The scriptures say, pray without ceasing. Man ought to always pray and not faint. Man, meaning man and woman. Boy and girl. Yeah. Because if not, we can be tricked out of here. And I don't want hell to be my home. I don't want it to be your home. When we have an opportunity so that it won't be either of our homes. Yeah. And it's already all right today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to this one prayer. It's a minute and 23 seconds. And I like to play this every morning if I can. Some mornings I don't play it, but when I can, I want to play this. So let's take a listen.
Lord, may nothing separate me from you today. Teach me how to choose only your way today, so each step will lead me closer to you. Help me walk by the word and not my feelings. Help me to keep my heart pure and undivided. Protect me from my own careless thoughts, words, and actions. And keep me from being distracted by my wants, my desires, my thoughts on how things should be. Help me to embrace what comes my way as an opportunity rather than a personal inconvenience. And finally, help me to rest in the truth of Psalm 86:13. Great is your love toward me. You already see the ways I will fall short and mess up. But right now, I consciously tuck your whisper of absolute love for me into the deepest part of my heart. I recognize your love for me is not based on my performance. You love me, warts and all. That's amazing. But what's most amazing is that the Savior of the world would desire a few minutes with me this morning. Lord, help me to forever remember what a gift it is to sit with you like this. Amen.
Jesus. Yeah. And that's the name of the Sister Sherry. I want to speak the name of Jesus, and I'm going to look for that one for Mr. Mason. But God bless each and every one of you today. We thank God for you. And I was going to ask Sister Dot earlier, and it slipped my mind kind of if she had our Bible quiz questions ready. But we do it on Wednesday. But had I asked her earlier, she probably could have prepared to bring them today. So on Wednesday, we'll look forward to hearing the quiz from her and her answers and all of that. And so we just thankful unto the Lord that he's always got something that will encourage us and grow us in him if we will trust it and check it out and put it to work. But many times we don't like the way it's presented. We don't like the way it sounds. So we don't go any further. But I tell you, if we continue on in Jesus, oh, he will bless us with what he sent our way. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful unto him this morning. And we a new day and new focus in Jesus. Because he's the way, the truth, and the life. And he's what we need. Yeah, and without him, we're not doing anything. We're not going nowhere. yeah, it's just a dead end without him. And so we thank him for being on our side and obeying the Father. Yeah, he obeyed God and gave his life up for us. And so we should be willing to give him a little bit more than we're giving him. Yeah, a lot more than we're giving him, we should give. So we thank him. We thank him. And we give him glory. We give him the honor and praise. And continue to prepare for his return. Yeah. When we've been in that word and we know what his word say, we can hold on. When we know what his promises are to us, we can hold on. But see, many are like the world. They don't know his promises. Another thing is they seek God when they want something. When it's something they can't do, then they seek God. All other time they walking and doing what they want. And some people know they're not right with God. They know they haven't given God their whole heart. So when they hear about hell, oh no, I don't want to hear about that. Well, I do. Because I want to be reminded daily that hell enlarges itself. Yeah. And I heard him say God didn't put it together for man. He didn't create it for man. He prepared it. Yeah, that's what I heard him say. And so he prepared a place for those who couldn't get it together, for those who were evil. I'm even praying for folks out in Hollywood. Yeah, I'm praying for folks that's involved in some stuff that's evil and wicked, because hell is hot and it's a real place. Yes, it is. And I promise you, you don't want to end up there, but you don't believe it. You don't pay it no attention. You override God and the Spirit of God in warnings. You don't pay that no attention. Somebody, oh man, that's fake. That's to get people to the church building. That's to do this. That's to trick people out their money. Uh-uh. I'm telling you this morning, hell is a real place. Yeah, I believe God is not a lying God. He wouldn't tell me something that's not true. Yeah. And I'm thankful unto him today, grateful unto him. And I have a project I'm working on, and I'm here with a young lady with Jesus on the lawn, something like that. I forgot the name of it, but I'm going to look at it though, because y'all know me. But I'm helping her, and y'all bear with me. I'm looking for it. But, I'm reaching out to help her. Okay. I'm going to find that one for you, Sister Sherry. God bless you this morning. I said, I hope Sherry listening today, because I'm going to find that one particular song right there. This particular Christian reggae mega mix. Yeah. They got different ones. You're right. But yeah, so I want to help her the more to be a blessing unto the children. And so I've given what I could, and I'm going to ask everybody else, if you can give $25, would you please send it to me on, what this thing is, Cash App. Yeah, if you send it to me on Cash App, I'll get it. But I am looking. She gave me the name of it. Okay, wait a minute. What is all of this? Yeah, Gospel in the Yard. Gospel in the Yard. I thought that was so nice because they're having it on the church ground. And they feeding the children hot dogs, hamburgers. They got a lot of games and things they bring in the bouncy house. This is a proposal of what they want to do. And the food, you know, you have to pay for everything. Cups, plates, all of that. So those that can help me, I really would appreciate it. $25 a piece or whatever you can give. I'm not going to put no certain price on it. If you can give 50 cents, yeah, if we'll take 50 cents. I remember the lady with the pennies, you know, she ain't had but a few. Everybody else could give what, you know, they could give, but she didn't have nearly what they had. But what she gave it from her heart. And when you give from your heart, God loves a cheerful giver. He will bless you back. Y'all excuse me. He will bless you back. So if you can be a blessing, you can go to Cash App. It's the money sign, the big C, the big C. A-S-H, the big N, which we call the capital N, O-W-8432. The money sign, cash now, 8432. And so whatever you can give, $5, 50 cents, $2, 25 cents, that go towards this, I would greatly appreciate it. Yeah. If we on Facebook together and you can't get this, feel free to reach out to me there. Or you can write freedomdoors@yahoo.com. freedomdoors@yahoo.com, and I'll get your message and get right back to you. Yeah. So again, that is the cash sign, I mean the money sign, cash now, 8432. And in cash, it's the big C, the capital C. And now, it's the big N. Yeah, the capital N. All right. God bless you. God bless you. I thought I'd give that out. I saw that the other day. I was like, what? Yeah, I saw it the other day. I was going to be asking. Yeah, that was last week. And I was thinking, not for myself, am I? Yeah, but God had a purpose and a plan, and he knew what he's doing. I got a call, Sister Angela Foote, today. I got a phone call from her last week, and I didn't get back to her. And I got to get back to her today to let her know I got your call and everything, and I will be calling you back. Or call me back when you get time, because we know she work. And God bless you. God bless you, Renee. God bless you, Sister Hackney. God bless you so much. And I got to get back to her and let her know I got the call, but I ran down to Flagler County, down to St. Augustine, and, you know, had some stuff to get done, and Saturday was so busy, went down there, and, it was just a busy day. And yesterday, I tried to get off the business, but the Lord held it in place, and so we didn't have to do as much. And so we thank God. But every day is a day of opportunity to focus in Jesus. Yeah, every day you wake up, it's a day to focus in Jesus. Yeah, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. And in the ending, we want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Yeah, we want to stay with him. We want to stay with him. We don't ever want to leave him talking about what we're talking about. Well, I couldn't get through. And then the Lord didn't hear my prayer. Things was getting worse. Now I'll let it get worse. It can get worse. But guess what? We're not focused on our problems. We focus on Jesus. And not only that, we're going to stay in him. Yeah, no matter what. Because in the ending, it's going to work together for your good if you love him. And if he saved you, you'd have called according to his purpose. Yeah. But many of us, we're ashamed. We don't want to get up and this, you know, different things. But let me tell you, we overcome by our testimonies and the blood of the Lamb. And how many know the devil will tell on you? I know you may not believe me. He'll go to God and let him know, hey, look here, didn't you tell Barbara to go down on the corner and just give out ink pens? Guess what Barbara doing? Barbara says she can't go no corner and give out no ink pen. Not that God didn't know from the beginning. But he would tell on us. I know he'd go to Revelation. The devil would tell on you. And guess what? You heard the word, your sins will find you out. They everywhere you look now on YouTube or Facebook or where. P. Diddy, P. Diddy, P. Diddy, Dr. T.D.J., T.D.J. Why? Your sins will find you out. Your sins will tell what you're doing in the dark will tell it in the light. And some people think they done got away with it. Nobody don't know. The very thing you think you hiding, that's the main thing people know about you. I'm not joking with you. I looked at a movie, it was called Country Strong. And that was a young lady there. She wanted to be famous. She wanted to be a big country star. And the girl could sing. And coming on down to the ending of the movie, she had asked the person that hired her, which was famous, and oh, she was just big time, and boy, she could put a show together. So she asked her if she had any advice for an upcoming star. And she told her, yeah, but she didn't give it to her right away. So in the ending, she went in there and she gave her some advice. Yeah, in the ending. And she told her about herself. She said, only thing don't ever be afraid of is love. She told her about her parents had been to prison. She didn't know nothing about this young lady. Yeah. So sometimes we got to listen. It may not come through who you want it to come through. Yeah, it may come through somebody else. I tell y'all about Bishop Charles C. Woods all the time. And he had a friend named Prince Yelda. Yelda is singing and doing all directing and probably writing and doing all kind of gospel musical stuff today. And I think he worked at a radio station too. But anyway, I love Prince Yelda until this day. But I would go to church and Bishop would be on the organ, he on the piano, you know. And then another thing, they would come together and he would give way to Prince Yelda. Now, I knew Bishop was 100% the true prophet of God. If he said it was going to rain at 12 o'clock and you went out the door and you saw the sun shining, as soon as you hit out there, the water was going to fall. If that's what he said, God said. And he wasn't one to lie on God. I'm just telling you the truth. Well, the friend, Prince Yelda, he was close to Bishop. But he was not quite like Bishop. No two people are the same. They can have somewhat of the same gifts. Because Bishop could sing. He could make the organ talk. He could put the choir together. Oh, Bishop was talented. God gave him much. And to whom much is given, much is required. We know that. So Prince called me out one night to tell me what the Lord had told him to tell me. And they asked me for $20. But guess what? They was not the same. It was not the same. But I knew that was God speaking. I knew that much. And I released that $20 to him. The next day they came and brought me a letter from some company that was suing me. And the man told me, he said, sign this paperwork and send it back. He said, they're not going to pursue nothing. I signed the paperwork and sent it back. I never heard from them people again. But Prince said, God said, give me $20. Ha! Hey, he said, Barbara Mac, I was Mac at the time. He said, Mac, he said, you have a strange ministry. He said, the hundreds been saved under that strange ministry you got. He said, it's even strange to you. God knows he didn't lie. Because I'm just not like, to me, other people, other evangelists. I'm peculiar. I know I'm of a royal priesthood. Glory to his majesty. I know I'm just totally not on the same page, and I don't do things quite the way everybody else do it. And I remember one time Dr. Williams, I love Dr. Williams, I'm from Philadelphia. When I went to Philadelphia, she took really, really good care of me. She's Dr. Williams and Pastor Williams. And I remember this woman, and no matter what, Dr. William will bless me. I'm talking about at the drop of a hat. She don't. But I know I'm just different. She told me I was writing this book, and I was putting like maybe 10 paragraphs, if or less, on Facebook for people to read, and for them to, you know, give me some feedback on it or add to the book. She come and said, excuse me, would you please stop giving all of this away and go on and write the book? And I got through with them. She said, now make a second segment to the same book. Dr. Williams, I'll never forget this woman the longest day I live. Because God used her to bless me, to show me some things. Yeah. And so we used to stay in touch a lot, but, you know, I'm older, she's older, and I know she's busy in her work. But it's just a blessing to know the people of God. And not because we want something from them, but because we love them. I didn't ask Dr. William to come and do that for me. She has sent me boxes of clothes and shoes and perfumes and all kind of stuff to give away. Because that's my expertise, giving. Oh, yes, Lord, and I do love it. I love to give and see the smile on people's face. I gave something, I think that was last week, and they said, could have been a week before. Oh, she got this and this. This and that is in here. Yeah. I don't hold back. I don't keep the good stuff for me and give you what I don't want. No, I give you what I want. If I don't want it, I'm not giving it to you. I throw it in the trash first. Yeah, I'm going to give you what I want. God loves a cheerful giver. And he don't want nobody giving junk and talking about they giving because it's cheerful. Now, I know it will make you happy because you're giving what you don't want and keeping what you want. But it's the opposite. Give what you want. Throw away what you don't want. Don't get that to nobody. I don't give junk away. I don't like giving used stuff away. And I give food. I want it to be fresh at the grocery store. When you get it, it's fresh. When I give clothes, I want to give you what still have the tag on. I never had my body in it. Shoes, brand new. So the Lord is always opening doors. Somebody over here said, well, hey, can you get this? Yeah, I can take that. Somebody over there might say, hey, I got this. Can you use this, some stuff online? Yeah. I asked the Lord to increase my territory because I want to be a blessing more to people. Everybody not on the same page. Those that are sick, I want to pray and the Lord send a caregiver in. Those that are sick, I'm talking about a caregiver that you can trust. Not just any old body coming in there to steal from you or to make you worse than you are. But coming in there to enhance your life and make it better. He's able. And let me tell you something. God will have people in place just to serve you. Do you hear what I say? Yeah, he's able. And so we thank him this morning. We give him glory. We give him the honor and we give him the praise for all he has done. Again this morning, what he's doing right now, great and mighty things for us and what he will do. Yeah, he's almighty God that have all the power. I want to share this with you. This week in your spare time, every day, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. And mainly, I'm going there now because I got to see it. I can hear it, but I need to actually see the scripture. Yeah. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. But a lot of times I like to see the word, and that blesses me when I see it for myself. All right, Hebrews, come on up. I was in over there in Psalms. All right. Let's go to Hebrews 11, and let's see what chapter 1 says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtained a good report. We want to be in this mind frame to believe. If God did it for Moses, if he did it for Aaron, he did it for Abraham, he did it for Lot, he did it for many. By faith, Deborah, Priscilla, Aquila, Apostle Paul, John, Matthew, Mark, all of them obtained a good report through faith. We got to believe God without seeing no evidence. Because if you see evidence, that's not faith. It says now faith is the trust of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen is the key. We're not going to know where it's coming from. I don't know what's going to happen. But I trust God. I pray and I told him what I want. I pray and I tell him what I want. And then I'm looking to change. I'm looking to change for him. I'm looking to get a new heart and new things in my heart concerning him. And what that means is this. I won't go against him ever. I told him what I want. And I want to draw closer to him, to obey him more. Yeah, that's the way I look at it. Because he's already been good to all of us. And when we hear about all this stuff coming to pass, you think you done heard? Not yet. When you hear about all of this stuff coming to pass, we thought our mouth was open when the world looked like it flipped upside down. When any and everything could come into play. When they don't protect children in this country. We thought we were seeing something. You haven't seen nothing yet. But the devil come but to kill, steal, and destroy. And those that serving him, and many serving him and don't know it. Many belong to him and don't even know it. That's the sad part. But we pray for those in the world. That as we lift up the name of Jesus, he will draw all men unto him. But see, everybody's not lifting up the name of Jesus. Some people lifting up their own name. But we got to lift up his name. But listen, this week I want you to stay with Hebrews chapter 11. And I look at verse 1 on down. And I tell you what, we could just go on through it. But if you stop, I can't say, because the whole thing is helping us. By 23 says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Faith, faith, faith. Look at the situation. Pharaoh said, when those Israelite women go to give birth, kill the baby. There were 2 midwives who feared God, and they said, no, we can't do this right here. And when he asked them about it, they told her, hey, they give birth so quick, we can't stop the baby from coming. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith, and guess what? They moved Joseph's bones and buried him where he wanted to be buried. This that same Joseph. You remember of many colors and all of them. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Light didn't come from somewhere other than God spoke it. It wasn't no other light for him to make light from. He spoke light into existence. Let the water separate from the water. Let the earth separate from the sky. He spoke it. And if he can speak that into existence, hey, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Anything you need, he can simply speak it. But do you believe today that God can speak whatever you need? He's that kind of God. Don't hold back. Come on. I don't want to ask God for nothing. He's sick of me. God is not like man. That's what man would do to you. That's what your neighbor do. You went over and borrowed a cup of sugar. A few days later, you needed a couple of eggs. They sick of you already. Then you go back over there and you borrow two pieces of bacon. They sick of you. God is not like that. Guess what? Without him, we can't do nothing. The scriptures say we have not because we ask not. But we think we can do these things. I said we can make our own everything. No, ma'am, and no, sir. He's waiting on us to come to him to ask for whatever. Believe. Faith means to believe and to trust him that he'll bring it to pass. But we got to believe. We got to have faith. Somebody waiting on that money. Somebody waiting on the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. Somebody waiting on the better job. Somebody waiting to retire and get their Social Security and just, oh boy, go shopping and travel and have a good time. Because what they thought they had, God added to it before, right a few days before they retired. He's that kind of God. He will give us health and strength. We just got to believe it and put a little effort into it. Shante said, you going with my eye here to shoot some hoop? I didn't go, but today I got to go. I need to exercise too. I can't jump and shoot, but I can throw the ball from her to myself. I throw it to her, she throw it back to me. Yeah, I can get a little exercise in that way. But I got to put forth an effort. I saw the other day when I walked a little bit, my knee didn't hurt as bad. But I had to do a little walk. I had to endure just a tiny bit of pain. I had to be willing and trust in God. Hallelujah. Because it's him that's going to bring us through. I'm going to go to 4 right quick. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaking. My goodness. 5 says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Are we going to please God? That he pleased God. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let me tell you, if we faithfully, diligently, continually, always seek God, he's going to bless you. We want the blessings of God. I'm not talking about the blessings of man. I'm not talking about what man give to you. I'm talking about the blessings of God that God used man to give to you. If it came from God, it's going to bless you. But it must come from God. Stop trying to make your own ways. Trust God, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. There's no other way to go than with him. And I'm honest with mine. If I want something, I'm asking him, expecting him to give according to his word. I have not because I ask not. I'm not asking amiss. I'm not asking for what God can't do or won't do or it's against him. No, I'm asking for what he's for just like I'm for. Uh-huh. He wants me to have that. It makes him happy to see me happy. He know money makes me happy. Money makes me glad. So he give me a little money. Yeah. I was the first one able to give to this cause I'm telling you about. And I didn't give $2 or $3 either. Yeah, because it's for the children. Train up the child in the way it should go. When he get old, he won't depart from it. There are some things I do for elderly people. Yeah, all kind of people. Why? God loves a cheerful giver, and he needs some workers in the vineyard. Yeah. Sometimes folk take their money and spend it on foolishness when they could be a blessing to themselves by giving. Yeah. I stop all that Walmart shopping, y'all. Look like every time I turn around, I needed something from Walmart. I just needed something from Walmart. And then when you do the home delivery, they're going to charge you a tip, and you pay every month for them to deliver. And then when I looked at my statement, this is what made me stop too. I seen them just robbing me. $6. I ain't buying no $6 worth of stuff. I paid a $2 tip, but you took $6 from me. All kind of stuff. So I cut all that out, and I got to see I'm able to do more for somebody else, because all that Walmart, I didn't need it. I wanted it, and he gave it to me because he's my shepherd, and I shall not want. But guess what? I didn't need it, and I'm not wasteful, and I stopped. Now I'm able to give to somebody else. And let me tell y'all, some groceries is expensive. Play with it. I looked, and I didn't even get me. And I was like, wait a minute. Usually the bill is high when you buy meat, but ain't no meat in here. What is all of this? Everything looked like it has tripled. Yeah. Postage stamps. Everything. Yeah. The harvest is plenty, but the labor's a few. So it's plenty work to be done in the vineyard. And you need money to do that work many times. But I thank God in early on, starting off in this particular ministry, he showed me, hey, you don't really need money. You need me. From 2010 to 2024, it is so true. If I needed money to do something, many times I asked for it. And if I didn't ask for it, I only asked God for it. He sent somebody to bring it. Y'all often heard me tell you about Brother Jermaine, and he tried to hide $100 that he was giving to me, but I had already prayed for the $100 to pay blog costs. I had already asked God for the money, and he was going to try to hide it. Give it without me knowing he gave it, you see. And the Lord just showed right up and just showed he couldn't do it without me. He couldn't send $100 unless I knew. You see, God is faithful, and he loves cheerful givers. That thing tickled me so good. He loves cheerful givers. He does. But even if you don't give, because you don't have it to give, he still loves you just the same. Because he know what you're capable, what you're able. He know all of this. Yeah. So it's all right today. New day, new focus in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is looking for his people to come to him daily. Yeah, he wants you to come every day, all day. So the believer and non-believer, new to focus and seek God. I spelled new wrong for a reason. And the non-believer, new, that means they're going to become new, to focus and seek God. Today and every day, without God, we can do nothing. No faith, no hope, no peace if we don't have God. I got to believe it because I believe it and I got joy. I believe him and I got peace. I believe him and I got happiness. I believe him and I can bind up everything that's not him. I can believe him and the truth going to come out. I don't care what you try to hide. The truth going to come out. He's that kind of God. Gave me many gifts. The gift of caring, the gift of love, the gift of giving. And I often share this. If y'all knew what that gift of giving brought, honey, they couldn't stop you from giving. That gift of giving is a wonderful gift that always yields back to you. It always brings back to you. It always brings back. You could be sitting down having a cup of tea, and all of a sudden you may hear your bank account go off, your cash app go out. Don't nobody owe me no money. He done gave you an unexpected blessing. You weren't expecting it. But that gift to give it keeps bringing it back in all kind of ways, in healing, in remembering things, because the older you get, our memory get old too. But even in memory, even in sickness, even in disease, Yeah. And sometimes if you're dying, guess what? That giving will bring it back, bring life back to you. Because you gave somebody some meds, they needed a paper. Somebody going to pay for something for you. Somebody come up and say, have you tried this yet? And you say, no, what is that? Oh, it's a natural da-da-da-da-da. And try it. It make you feel better. You say, okay, I'm not, well, I don't have that. Well, I'll bring you a handful. These vitamins, ain't no medication stuff, you know, that's going to hurt you. And took them for 3 days, you feel better because you was dying. Yeah. But God is faithful if we keep the faith in him. If we'll keep looking to the hills from which cometh our help. Don't let the devil come in and make us doubt God. He hung the stars in the sky. He bring the sunshine out every day. He turned the day into night and here come the moon. And he keep it in a place where the sun don't scorch us, the moon don't freeze us, and he keeps the water back from the land so it don't drown us. America is a blessed place, but we don't realize we blessed by God. We think we blessed by our own hand, and we just messing up more and more. It comes back to me often, very often. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive the sins, and heal the land. But we can't see that. The world can't see that. All the world can see is making their own way and trying to hide things bad about them from other people. But I learned this long time ago, when you can't find nothing bad about other people, look under the rug, because they don't sweep a bunch. Look in the closet, there's a bunch of skeletons that fall out. We all got problems, but many of us want to act like we don't. And many want to act better than the next person. I don't know perfect people. I've never known a perfect person other than Jesus. Now, people that are perfect, I wish I knew some, because they could teach me how to be perfect. But there is no such thing. He said, we all have sinned and come short. That don't even exclude the grandbaby. You hear what I say? That don't, especially my grown grandchildren, that don't exclude them from nothing. I might want to feel they perfect. I might want to see them as perfect because they're my grandchildren, but I know better. I know better. What perfect grand, great grand? Oh, they're so cute. Not perfect. Got a lot of issues. Sometimes it can be dysfunction. Sometimes demons done jumped in them and they doing evil things. Nobody perfect. So I'm not going to compare myself to you. But I will compare myself to Jesus. I'm going to compare myself to him, to see what I'm not doing so that I can ask God to help me to do it, what your son did. Let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. He come to do the will of him that sent him. I just want to do your will and teach me your way and strengthen me that I can do your will. Help me to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto you because I want to. And Father, keep me day by day because I want to be kept by you. Strengthen my mind that I believe and not doubt. Because if you doubt, that's all you're going to get is some doubt. You can't get nothing because you don't believe it's coming. Go back to James chapter 1 and take a look what he said about that man in the mirror. When he walk away, he forget what manner of man he is. It talked about when he doubt. And when he do this way, when he do this, don't expect nothing from God because you're not believing nothing. We must believe. Hold on to the word of God like it's your best friend. I'm talking about hug it like tighter than you would your wife or husband or your children or grandchildren. Hug it tight, the word of God. They told me, oh, she don't hug people. No, spirits leap and jump. Or she got some childhood trauma. So, now, I don't have any of that. I had good godly parents. We were not abused. We were loved. But spirits leap and jump. And I'm not hugging on you and go out to church full of lust. The thing following me around. And from the pulpit. Watch yourself now, Barbara. No, I ain't hugging nobody. I don't want to hug nobody. I got those who I'm led to hug, and I hug them. Yeah, there are people I'm led to hug now, and I hug them. But those I'm not led to hug, I don't care who you are. No, ma'am. No, sir. I don't want none of that, Brother Anthony. Keep that for yourself, because don't bring it over here. Yeah, but that's what they'll tell you. Y'all go around and meet and greet Anthony, go on and hug. Brother Anthony. Have discernment with that hugging thing. The first lady will hug you, and next thing you know, you and her at the mope. Tell. Yeah, because them spirits, they ain't no joke. Them strongholds, them strong spirits, they fight. All spirits, basically, that's not of God, they strong and they want to fight. But some, you can get away from easier than others. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want none of it. No, sir, don't tell me about no hugging. Keep it over there. Hug yourself. You'll be all right. It looks like an easy, simple, humble, good thing to do, to hug somebody. Now, you have to be careful with that, saints of God, people of God, Christian, believer. You have to be careful. Yeah. And know what I'm learning? Speak life. Speak good. Now, once I see it's a demon, I get angry, I cast it on somewhere. Get on somewhere. Sometimes I say what I got to say to it, and I'm through. And then sometimes that spirit want to keep talking. I go on out the door somewhere. Yeah, I ain't got time for that. God is real. Been good to me. I'm talking about he is real, and he will be good to you. He give heart's desires. I am a living witness. I'm dead praying for three nights. Lord, I want a house. Lord, I want a house. Lord, I want a house. He said, I heard you the first time. See, God hear us the first time, but because we don't have faith and because we're not in a position where we're trusting him, we don't know. Now, I know good and well he heard that prayer. I knew this. And I wanted to act like Jacob. I'm not going to stop praying till you bless me. He showed me. You won't keep asking me for the same thing. I've already issued it. You just waiting for it to manifest in the natural. You know how this go. I wanted a place to sell my goods. He opened the door. I could have got a better place, but I jumped on it too quick. I settled for, and where I took it at is where he needed it at. He needed it down in the ghetto and low income areas. That was some people didn't have food for their children. Oh my goodness. And then they approved me for food stamps. I didn't know I could receive food stamps for food in a little confectionery store like that. But the state, and they wasn't going to do it. They kept giving me the run around. And one day, God blessed me to talk to the head supervisor. And she told me what it was going to be and this and that, but it wasn't quite going to be as quick as I needed it and yada, yada, yada. Well, I know God to be a right now God. Play with him. And after she finished telling me everything I told her, I said, ma'am, I said, when you get off the clock, can you call me? She said, I said, ma'am, this is personal. And I gave her just a little tad bit of what God was showing me. She said, oh, yeah, I can call you after work. And this and that and this and that. And we're going to move your situation quicker. So I had to work. I had to do a little work unto him. Woo! I get too excited. When I work unto him, he pays. You won't beat the benefits. No way. The pay is great and the benefits. I done told you what the Lord said, and when I look at my feet, they look new because the swelling gone down. I work, and wherever my mind at or whatever I want, that's what he's blessing with. Somebody said, well, see, Barbara, I don't have the gift that you have. Let me tell you what you got. You got two hands. If you can't write, pick up the phone. You always got your phone in your hand. You can't be 2 minutes. Where my phone? Call somebody and check on them. Stop before you call them and say, Lord, I can't go out. I can't do this. I can't do that. But today, Lord, I can call some people and remind them that Jesus is. Guess what he going to do? He going to bless that. Ooh, when you know that you're in the habit of that. If you're a member of church, they might give you a list of people to call. Call Sister Peabody and call Sister Cauliflower. They didn't come to church. And Sister Doohickey, she always come to Bible study, but she ain't been. And you're not calling them about church membership. You calling them, checking on them, and reminding them, be encouraged. No matter what's going on, he'll make it all right, but you gotta be strong. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's what you gotta do. Encourage somebody in the Lord. And watch God bless you for your little work you did. Look, I do a little bit and he blessed me big. Huh? Can't beat that pay. Yeah. I do a little work over here and that coat I want, I get it. I do a little work over here in the boots I wanted. I got them. I was looking at some shoes the other day. Just some flats, you know. Well, they got a little bottom on them because I can't wear flat shoes. And I was looking at that shoe, and I went over to SAS, and I looked at it. Over at SAS, that shoe was over $200. God bless me to get these here. Might have been $10.99. It's a knockoff shoe, but guess what? It looked just as good on my foot as them SAS. Oh, yes, it does. And I thank him for it. Because, see, I'm not into all of that. I'm not into spending money like that, paying for Gucci name. I'm not going to pay for your name. I'll go get the knockoff brand. Yeah, right there from Walmart, they got me. And it don't say Gucci, Uchi. It don't say none of that. It's just a shoe on the shelf that I like, and I get it, and I wear it. Because a lot of people done wasted all their money talking about their name brand people and they this and they that. Done wasted all that money on that foolishness and wish they had that money today to pay their electric bill. Huh? Yeah. Because all of that going to pass. That's some foolishness. Now, if you're buying for quality because it's got to last a while, I do understand. But my son in Kissimmee, A.L., he taught me this. He said, if you don't wear them shoes to death, they'll last you longer. And, Mama, you only get one pair of feet now. So don't wear the same shoe every day forever. Change them shoes up. And your feet going to feel better. Now, he taught me that. I said, okay. So I started buying shoes. I was already in love with them, you know. Yeah. And quality shoes are good. But if you can't and you got them $10.99, you wear the $10.99 pair today, tomorrow you wear them that you got for $14.99. The next day you might wear the $12.47 pair, you know, because you went to shoe rack and caught them on sale or wherever you got your stuff from. Switch it up. Don't wear it all, you know, till it wear out. And it'll last. And it's already all right in Jesus' name. I appreciate quality now. Yes, I do. Oh, it feels so much better. But when I can't afford quality, I get what I need to get and do what I need to do and make it work. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Listen, we have 26 minutes, but if anyone has something they would like to say, please feel free quickly to press that number one and come in. Yeah. But you got to come on now because we ain't got but 26 of them. All right. We're going to pray out. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all that has been said and done. Lord, we thank you for the glimpse of hell. We thank you that someone went and was able to come back and tell us hell is a real place. We knew it, God, because your word says so, and you're not a lying God. Father, we thank you for our hearing this morning, and we thank you for our eye to see. We thank you, Lord, that we want to be that church that you're coming back looking for. We will be that church without spot or wrinkle. We're preparing daily for your return. You went away to prepare a place for us, that where you are, we may be also. And Lord, we don't want any of this to be lost on us. We want to remember now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We want to not only trust you, God, and believe you, but Lord, we want to walk as if we know it right now that it's happening. Yeah, we don't want to put no stipulations on it, no time on it. We want to move right now because now faith is. So God, we're believing it's happening for us right now, that healing that we need, of those healings. That house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. The job, the finances, God, the car, whatever it is, the insurance, the bill paid, whatever it is, being a better husband, being a better wife, being a better son, being a better daughter. We believe in you for it right now. We believe in you to walk up right before you more. We believe in you to be better sons and daughters unto you, Jehovah God, that have all power. We're believing that right now, that these things are taking place. Whatever it is we feel we need, whatever our heart's desires are, we believe in you for them today, God. And we're walking in it right now. We believe in it and walking in it right now. In the name of Jesus. Hey, Yasha. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Hey, God. We thank you today. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, for your way maker. Hallelujah. Your promise keeper. Or you're on our side in spite of us. We thank you this morning. Oh, we give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. Oh, there's none like you. Thank you, Jesus. It is already done. If we can but believe, it is already done. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, it is done. My goodness. Yeah, you ain't got to pray all day. Yeah, you don't have to pray all night. God moves. And once you know he's moved, then you just sit back and relax and wait on your blessings to flow. Wait on your miracles of uncommon things. Because he's an uncommon God. He's not like everybody else's God. Woo! We have the true and living God that have all power. Hallelujah. We have the God that made the heavens and the earth. I feel all right there. Amen goes right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, as we depart, bless our going out and our coming in. And again, Lord, meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Father, we ask today that we would please you. We ask today that, Lord, we would keep our mind on you. We would remember what your word said in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, April the 8th, 2024, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye. Have a blessed day. And we will go to our last song of the morning.
Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. He will make your path straight. The very end. Why not a good book says, without faith?
you trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. He will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. What we do not see, faith it surely comes by hearing the word of God. You see, God, you see, yeah.
Faith is being sure what you hope for. Oh, I love that song.